Welcome to the Deep Dive. I'm really glad you're here with us today.
Me too.
We're setting out on what I think is a pretty crucial expedition.
Absolutely.
Today's Deep Dive, it's all about crafting your strategy for the CSIR UGCNet December 2025 exam.
Yep, a big one for many people.
Think of this as like your expert-guided climb towards a major milestone in your science career. We've gathered the best approaches, looked at what works for successful folks, and we're here to arm you with the key dates, a solid 4-month study plan, some smart resource hacks, and, those essential reminders to keep you calm and focused.
Whether you're aiming for the JRF or a lectureship.
Exactly. So let's get started. Let's chart this course.
Okay.
All right, first things first, let's map out the territory a bit. For anyone who's maybe new to this, what exactly is the CSIR UGCNet?
Good starting point.
Well, it's basically the big qualifying exam run by the National Testing Agency. Getting through it qualifies you for junior research fellowships or JRFs, and also for lectureship or assistant professor roles.
Right, across all the top Indian universities and research institutes. It's the standard.
And it happens twice a year, right? June and December.
That's it.
And it covers five main science areas: life sciences, chemical sciences, mathematical sciences, physical sciences, and earth, atmospheric, ocean, and planetary sciences. Quite a spread.
It really is. And what's really fundamental, I think, is seeing this exam as your genuine entry ticket, your way onto the real science stage, as you put it.
Yeah.
It's not just another test. It's designed to be rigorous, to actually test your depth of understanding. Doesn't matter if you're a master's student gunning for research or maybe already working and looking to shift into academia.
So it really validates your knowledge.
Exactly. It sets that benchmark for scientific ability in India.
Okay, got it. So with that baseline established, let's talk timing, because honestly, prepping without a plan for an exam like this,
Yeah.
that's just asking for trouble.
Oh, absolutely. Panic mode.
So here's what we expect the schedule to look like based on, how things usually run. It's pretty consistent year to year.
Yeah, the pattern holds mostly.
We're probably looking at the official notification coming out late October.
Okay.
Then applications likely open in the first couple of weeks of November.
Right. Quick turnaround there.
Yeah. Then admit cards probably mid-December. And the exam itself usually lands somewhere around December 15th to the 20th.
That mid-December window.
Exactly. And results, you're probably looking at mid-January 2026 for those.
So a month or so after the exam.
Right. And my number one piece of advice here: keep notifications on N for ccnet.nta.ac.in. Seriously, that's where everything official drops. Don't rely on rumors.
Solid advice.
That.
That's the source.
Yeah.
And, connecting this to the bigger picture, knowing these dates isn't just about putting them on your calendar.
No, it's more than that.
It's about working backwards,
Yeah.
reverse engineering your whole prep schedule. And this brings up a really critical question for you, the listener. How do you actually use these dates to build a plan that's disciplined, but still like flexible enough?
Right.
Because so many students just react. They see the notification drop, then they panic.
Yeah, reactive planning.
Exactly. Instead of being proactive, knowing the exam is mid-December means, okay, your heavy study, your mock test that needs to peak, maybe wrap up by early December, not just start then.
That makes sense. You need that buffer.
You absolutely do.
Okay, so we know the timeline, roughly, but how do we actually fill those months? Let's break down what we think is a really effective 4-month strategy, especially if you're starting right about now in August.
Let's do it. A roadmap.
Consider this your roadmap, not rigid rules, but a proven path. First up, August. Your main goal here is concept building.
Foundational work.
Yeah, skim the whole syllabus first, just get a feel for the scope, then zoom in on inserts, strengthen those core basics in your subject. Seriously, don't skip the fundamentals.
Crucial. So many people try to jump ahead too fast.
Exactly. Then September, now you dive deeper.
Yeah.
Focus heavily on Part B and Part C prep.
The meat of the exam.
Right. Start doing unit-wise multiple choice questions. And here's a tip I always give: mark the tricky ones, the ones that make you stop and think or guess.
Keep a list.
Yeah, those are gold for revision later. Okay, October. This is your mock test month. Like full-length mocks every Sunday.
Every week, consistency.
And it's not just about the score, it's about analyzing those results. Where did you go wrong? Why? Fix your timing. Tace yourself.
Error analysis is key.
Absolutely. And the big goal for October: finish the entire syllabus at least once by October 31st. Make that non-negotiable.
That's ambitious, but necessary.
It is. Then November. This month is all about revision and speed. Flashcards, quick concept recall drills.
Active recall.
Yes. And importantly, don't forget Part A, that general aptitude section. It can seriously boost your score if you've practiced consistently.
Yeah, don't leave those marks on the table.
And finally, December. This month is about calm confidence. No 11th-hour cramming. Please, no burnout.
Seen it happen too often.
Me too. Trying to learn a whole new topic the week before? Bad idea. December is for fine-tuning, maybe reviewing your marked tricky questions, staying sharp, not learning new stuff.
That's a really solid phased approach. And what I find insightful there is how it moves deliberately from foundation to deep practice and then dedicated revision.
Right. It builds logically.
Yeah. It really highlights why consistent, spaced out effort beats that last minute intense cramming every time. My experience is students who follow this kind of structure, they don't just understand the material better, they also cut down on that exam day stress massively because they trust the process they followed. It builds mental endurance too, not just knowledge.
That's a great point. Mental stamina is huge for a 3-hour exam. Okay, so we need the right plan, but we also need the right gear for this expedition. Let's talk tools. Your study arsenal
is sexual.
And this isn't just a random list of books. These are resources that tend to align well with what the CSRU GCNet actually demands.
Resources that work.
Exactly. So for life sciences, lots of successful folks mentioned Truman's, Arihant Publications, and the CSRNet Pathfinder series.
Standard choices there.
For chemical sciences, you hear Claydon, Opitandin, and Awasti quite a bit.
Claydon, especially for organic mechanisms.
Right. If you're in physics, Griffiths for quantum mechanics is almost legendary. Also, H.C. Verma, Eisberg.
Solid physics texts.
Mathematical sciences. Hoffman and Kunze for linear algebra. Rudin for analysis. Those are heavy hitters.
Definitely foundational.
And for earth sciences, Mahapatra seems common. Plus those specific CSIR guidebooks you can find.
Right. Tailored guides help.
And beyond the books, let's not forget digital tools. There's so much out there. YouTube channels dedicated to net prep, NPTEL courses.
Like lectures, yeah.
Platforms like IFAS, Unacademy, others. Even just finding good Telegram study groups can make a difference.
Community support, different explanations.
Exactly. So you've got options.
That's a good overview of the resources.
Yeah.
But, you know, this brings up a really important strategic question for you listening. How do you actually use these tools effectively?
Right. It's not just about owning the book.
Precisely. Take Griffiths for quantum mechanics. It's not just for reading the theory. Those end-of-chapter problems. They often reflect the kind of analytical thinking you need for Part C.
Ah, interesting. So do the problems.
Absolutely. Work through them. Don't just read about them. Same with Claydon in Chem Sciences. Its problem-solving focus directly maps onto the complex reactions you'll face.
Okay.
So the key isn't just having the resources. It's figuring out how to squeeze the maximum value from them, tailoring how you use them specifically for the NET exam's demands. It's active engagement, not just passive reading.
Active engagement. I like that. Okay, let's quickly decode the exam pattern itself. Understanding the structure of this mountain you're climbing is vital.
Know your enemy.
Huh, sort of. It's one paper, right? 3 parts, total 3 hours.
Simple structure, tough content.
Okay, so Part A, general aptitude, worth 30 marks.
For quick wins, potentially.
Part B, this is more conceptual subject questions, worth 70 marks.
Core knowledge tested here.
And then Part C, deep application questions. This is the big one. Carries 100 marks. Arguably the most important section.
Where the ranking often gets decided.
And the critical rule everyone needs burned into their brain. Negative marking applies.
Yes. Huge factor.
So, random guessing. Terrible idea. Play smart. Don't just bubble in answers hoping for the best.
Absolutely not. You need a strategy for guessing, or rather for not guessing when you're unsure.
Right.
And connecting this back. Really getting the weightage and the type of questions in each part, especially Part C, that's fundamental. It shapes your whole exam day approach.
How so?
Well, take Part A, you said 30 marks. People often sideline it. But those are often faster questions, logic, basic math, data stuff. If you practice consistently, you can bank those marks relatively quickly.
Build momentum early.
Exactly. Many top scorers say consistent Part A practice gave them an edge, boosted confidence right at the start.
Okay, good tip. And Part C? You mentioned deep application.
Yeah, let's unpack that. It's not just recalling facts like maybe in Part B. Part C tests, if you can think like a scientist.
How do you mean?
Like they might give you hypothetical experimental data and ask you to interpret it. Or describe a setup and ask you to predict the outcome if something changes. Or analyze graphs.
Ah, so it's problem solving.
Yes. You're basically simulating research thinking. So when you practice Part C questions, don't just look for the answer. Ask yourself, okay, if this was my experiment, what would I conclude? What's the next logical step? It demands a different mental gear.
That's a really useful way to frame it. Think like a researcher. Okay, building on all this, let me share some final reminders. These are the actionable nuggets, things I've seen make a real difference for serious aspirants.
The takeaways.
Yeah, the stuff you can actually do. First, set a reminder on your phone, calendar, or whatever. Early October. Check ccrnet.nta.ac.in. Don't miss the official notification or deadlines.
Simple but easy to forget.
Second, that October 31st deadline for finishing the syllabus once. Make it sacred. Stick to it. It buys you crucial revision time. Non-negotiable.
Third, practice under timed conditions. Seriously. Especially for Part C, you need both speed and accuracy. Get used to the clock ticking.
Simulate exam conditions.
Fourth, keep a wrong answers notebook. I know we mentioned error analysis, but actually writing down why you got something wrong, it cements the learning. It's often more valuable than any guidebook.
Totally agree. Your personal learning journal.
And fifth, a little bonus tip.
Yeah.
Build a study playlist. Sounds minor, but some research suggests the right kind of music can actually help with memory and focus.
Background music, yeah, if it works for you.
Find what works for you. Instrumental, classical, whatever, keeps you in the zone without distracting.
Those are all excellent practical tips. And I just want to double down on that wrong answers notebook.
Okay.
The real power there, I think, isn't just listing mistakes. It's about categorizing them. Are your errors mostly conceptual? Calculation slips, timing issues on certain question types.
Finding the patterns. Exactly. Identifying patterns in your errors gives you targeted insights. That's way more powerful than just reviewing one question. It helps you understand how you learn and where your specific weaknesses are. It's like meta-learning, learning about your own learning.
Meta-learning, I like that. Turning mistakes into a strategic tool.
Mm.
Okay, so this has been our deep dive into, hopefully, a really comprehensive roadmap for you tackling the CSIR UGCNET December 2025 exam.
Yeah, hopefully giving you clarity.
Our goal was really to equip you with that clarity, a clear path forward on what is, let's be honest, a significant scientific challenge.
It's a journey.
It really is. And maybe a final thought to leave you with. Stay curious, stay consistent. Remember that real understanding, true mastery. It doesn't just come from piling up facts.
Now it's deeper.
It comes from applying that knowledge rigorously, analyzing your own efforts, especially your mistakes, and genuinely learning from every single attempt. The journey really is as valuable as getting that qualification.
Well said. The process matters.
We really hope this deep dive has given you the tools and maybe a boost of confidence to move forward.
Go for it.
And hey, if you found this helpful, don't forget to share this deep dive with your study buddies, your circle. Let's keep the conversation and the learning going.